This morning, I'll be in the book of Exodus in chapter 33, and kind of a topical message to where I'll give you many illustrations and many different things, examples that we can look at. But in verse number 7 through the end of the chapter, I'll read that text to your, most of you remember, boy, I can sure chase a lot of rabbits sometimes in between and maybe not get done what I want to get done, but I definitely want to get the scripture read. That's the main thing, is the Word of God. And then we'll see what God has for us. There's one particular verse within this text and this passage this morning that speaks towards our topic this morning, the friend of God. And Brother Chris was talking about that a little bit this morning, about there in the Garden of Eden. And it goes back before Abraham. Here we're going to see Moses and how God's made himself known. And many times we looked at the pre-incarnate Christ, or some called it a theophany, and how that God, we're not able to see him in all his glory. And yet, boy, Moses, he'd already been up in the mount with God, and boy, he was hungry for more. And he was hungry for more for a reason, because in chapter 32, there was sin. There was sin in the camp. They dealt with that many times. Israel did as a nation. We think some of you probably immediately think about the time there with Joshua, with Achan and the wedge of gold and the Babylonian garment, and just the great tragedy that was. But anytime sin enters into our life as a believer, it distances us from God. That's the way we came into this world. David said, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me," in Psalm 51:5, and how that we were born into this world as sinners. He gave that great verse, Romans 5:12, "Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." No one had to teach me how to sin. And I had to learn about that, and it wasn't something that I just all of a sudden said, "I get it." No, it was the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God as the Word of God was taught and as it was lived out in the lives of other believers and the prayers that had gone up, but it was all the work of God. Salvation is of the Lord. And it's God's will for all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You've heard that, me say that so many times. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Abraham, we know later, was called in the book of James. He believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. And Abraham was called the friend of God. Do we not sing the song, "What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer." And here we're going to see Moses, the lawgiver, a type of Christ. He's prayed that his name be blotted out because of their sin, and how he's going as an intercessor to God on behalf of his people there. And how that's exactly, the Bible tells us in John 1:17, "For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ." He said, "No man has seen God at any time." So there's not a contradiction here. When we get to that verse this morning, it says, "The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." Later on in that same gospel, Philip says, he asked Jesus, he said, "Show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." He said, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." And we've seen all that we need to. We have to see Jesus. We have to turn our eyes upon Jesus and to look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And so here we find Moses in chapter 7. He's going to approach God. And we see that he's already been given the instructions to construct the tabernacle. But this tabernacle here is his own personal dwelling. And a tabernacle spoke many times of a tent, a place where he met with God. The tabernacle later would be built, a place where God dwelt among his people. John 1:14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When it speaks of God dwelling in the God-man dwelling amongst us, we think of Jesus coming to this earth, the virgin-born Son of God, and how He lives within us now in the presence of His Holy Spirit. He doesn't dwell. He's not walking down the streets, and yet He abides within the lives of each and every born-again, blood-bought believer. We see that Moses, he's going to approach God now. And he's a friend with God. He has a personal relationship with Him. And he's hungry to know the way in which he is to lead his people there. Let's read this passage. I said we needed to read the passage, and I got started again. But in verse number 7, it says, "And Moses took the tabernacle." Again, the tabernacle, as we know it, that we study, something was mentioned about the furnishing. Boy, you go and look at all the furnishings and you look at everything about the tabernacle and see the types of Christ there, and what a great study that is. I know Brother Jack had a tabernacle that was back there in the men's baptistry there, and there's a lot of men that was their specialty on teaching about that. But we see that Moses at this time, he's going to take, but there's something that we see in this verse that stands out, is the fact that sin distances us from God. 1 John 1:7 says, "If we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son, Jesus Christ, cleanses us from all sin." We see that not the relationship, that's what I was going to bring a message on tonight, the eternal security of the believer that is taken. We will never perish. We see that we have eternal life, and yet our fellowship is broken. Just as it was when sin entered into the world and Adam and Eve, because of realizing their nakedness, the fear, the guilt, the doubt, and the shame distanced them from God. No longer were they walking in the cool of the morning. And I like what Brother Chris said. God is omnipresent and omniscient, and He knows all things. And that's a rhetorical question. Adam, where art thou? He knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. Just like when He came to you, if you're here this morning, a child of God and born again, and the Spirit of God lives within you, there came a day that there came conviction upon your heart, because Spurgeon said, without conviction, there is no conversion. We must realize that we have offended God, that He is a holy and a just God, and we're able to also come to Him, because not only is He holy and just, but He's also loving and merciful. He's extended us the scepter of grace through His Son, Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, John 1:14 talked about. Moses, he takes the tabernacle and he pitched it without the camp. Have you heard the preacher say before about walking a guilty distance from God? That's what it's talking about right there, how we're distanced. Remember the old preachers years ago, the points there on the prodigal son? Sin will cost you more than you're willing to pay. It will take you further than you're willing to go, and it will keep you longer than you're willing to stay. The price of sin in our lives. The carnal mind is enmity toward God. We must control our heart. We must keep our hearts with all diligence. We must put the right types of things within our hearts and minds. And it begins right here. In our meditations, we need to meditate upon the Word of God. And yet Roloff was talking about there in Exodus chapter 32, I used that for a lot of years, but he said the children of Israel were feasting and playing instead of fasting and praying. You see, Moses, the leader, was up in the mount meeting with God, and Joshua came back down and he said, "I hear a sound of noise." He said, "Man, that's no worship service." He said, "That's the sound of noise of war in the camp and the revelry, and the nakedness and the shame and the idolatry, and how that they had created the golden calf, and how that Aaron had taken matters into his own hands, and how that the children of Israel had sinned greatly against God and God was going to consume them, but how Moses, his love for God, but also his love for the people, how he cried out for them. Aren't you glad there were some people that have prayed for you in your life? I think of Jesus when He told Peter, "I have prayed for thee." Oh, those are some of the greatest words to hear whenever, especially whenever you know that they're true and knowing that we have a great high priest that prays for us. Afar off from the camp, outside the camp. I don't have to tell you that. If you're a child of God, you know what it's like about that godly sorrow that leads you back to repentance. Remember, Brother Mark? When we got saved, we began a lifestyle of repentance. Is that ever true or not? I'll say amen twice to that. We fall on our face before God. It's not that we're not capable of sin. It's the fact that we don't not going to continue to live in it as a child of God. For we do, there's the chastening hand of God. I'm glad that God, again, has chastened me many times. David said, He's chastened me sore, but not unto death. I mean, I remain alive to this day because of the tender mercies of God. And I'm glad that there are people that the Lord Jesus Christ is my great high priest and that He prays for me and that His thoughts are innumerable, as the psalmist talks about, but also that there are others that pray for me and there's others that I pray for. And we need to pray for one another. We need to love one another. We need to pray for one another. And we need to be serious about our prayer life. It says, he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that every one which sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was without the camp. That means that there were those that were in that group that had sinned, that wanted that relationship restored. They wanted reconciliation. They wanted to come back to God. And they went to Moses, just like we come to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by Him. They went to Moses, the lawgiver. It came to pass when Moses went out under the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man at his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass, as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle, and the Lord talked with Moses. Boy, to be able to you say, well, we can still do that today. How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told Him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed? How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? I think of Jacob. I was reading in my devotions the other day of Jacob there at Bethel as he was talking about there and how he refused to let go until God blessed him. How long has it been since we stayed on our knees till the light shone through, until we got an answer from God? Until we knew that burden was lifted and that prayer was heard. It's not always answered exactly the way we want, but we know that we can trust God just as we do with our souls, with our prayers, with His perfect will. Whatsoever you ask according to His will. 1 John says, and it came to pass, we talk about the cloudy pillar, and it says, all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door. We think of the cloudy pillar, the fire by night, and the burning bush in the different ways. And then later on, he speaks to Joshua as the captain of the host, another one of those pre-incarnate appearances by Christ in the Old Testament there. And the Lord, it says, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. And the Lord spake unto Moses. I love this verse right here. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Boy, don't you know that Joshua had some stories to tell whenever Moses was gone. And that happened in Joshua chapter 1. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. And Joshua, as the old commercial said, he knew a thing or two because he'd seen a thing or two. And he was able to tell some stories. But he had learned some lessons and he had seen God firsthand through Moses and his leadership right there. And whenever he bowed down, he got the same response. We know that that was the angel of the Lord, and I believe it was the Lord Jesus Christ. We'll say, how do you know that, Brother Harris? Because same thing happened as whenever Moses was at the burning bush. He said, you need to get your shoes off. You're standing on holy ground. And he did. You see, the other angels in the Word of God, they refused worship whenever it was not Christ. You go over there and study that in the book of Daniel right there. But God's making himself known, the Jehovah, the eternal self-existent God, continually revealing himself and making himself known, not just to Moses, not just to Adam or to Abraham, but to us this morning by his word. In these last days, he's spoken to us by his son. He said divers and sundries way there in Hebrews chapter 1, where, in that verse, I hadn't got time to go there, but he's speaking to us this morning. God the Father sent, Jesus went, the Comforter has come, the Holy Spirit of God is here today in this day of grace and knocking on the hearts of men and women's hearts for them to be saved. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the coming of the Son of Man. As he was mentioning this morning, we shouldn't be alarmed at the wickedness and the sin and the corruption and how that, as Paul wrote, evil men are waxing worse and worse. It's only going to get better. I mean, it's only going to get worse before it gets better. Yeah. Remember that old illustration. The bright and morning star always appears at the darkest and the coldest hour. And I believe that we're in that hour right now. And as much as our hearts cry, come quickly, Lord Jesus, we've still got lost loved ones and family members and friends, and that we want them to be saved before it's too late. We look and we see that every man's in the tent door, and they're worshiping God. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. There it is right there, a friend of God. And he turned again into the camp, but his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. And Moses said unto the Lord, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, and thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Yet thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Here we see grace in the Old Testament right there. And we're here recipients of his, a sinner saved by the grace of God, a friend of God. When we were born into this world, we were born at enmity with God. We were the enemy of God. We were children of the devil. By nature, the children of wrath, separated and distanced from God. But oh, the grace that brought it down to man. Oh, the mighty gulf that God did span at Calvary. Oh, the love of God. There's no words to describe it. But praise God, that doesn't mean we can't experience it. To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, in Ephesians 3:19. He said, God, I need some help. I'm just paraphrasing. He said, I need to know. He's going to ask for two things. He said, I need to know the way, and I want to know your glory. He said, God, I've been up in the mount with you, and I've been talking with you, And I want to know more. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. Paul already knew the Lord Jesus on the Damascus Road, and yet more about Jesus would I know. More of his grace to others show. We see that he wanted more. And that's one of the things that's a part of the fruit or part of the evidence of a person that is truly born again, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. We want more. We want a fuller revelation. And right now, we're not going to get it, just like he never saw God in all his glory face to face. But what he saw was more than what he had seen before. He hungered and thirsted. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. God is willing for us to be saved. He's willing for us to, he wants us to serve him. And he has given us everything that we need, the power of the Holy Ghost, the Word of God, the local New Testament church. He's given us everything that we need to succeed. ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The prince of the power of the air, the devil, that serpent, he is defeated, as Genesis 3:15 prophesied that he would be. He knows that his time is short. He's doing everything that he can to destroy. John 10:10 says, the thief cometh not but for to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said, I'm come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Not in the abundance of things that we possess, but who we possess, the Lord Jesus Christ. We look at this, continue to look at this passage. He says, now therefore I pray thee, in verse 13, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. He's not just asking for Moses. You see, we're supposed to be intercessors. Does the Bible not say that we are kings and priests in Revelation chapter 1 as children of God? We have a throne of grace, and we have a great high priest, and we have an advocate with the Father, and we bring sacrifices of our time, of our treasure, and of our talent before God as the priesthood of believers. And we have, God has given us a work to do. He wants us to be intercessors, to pray for lost souls, to pray for missionaries, to pray for one another. And he said, and this is the part I like right here, this simple message right here. He said, I will. It's his will for all men to be saved. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. All the way through the book, God has been approachable. Remember those three great cries we looked at for years? How God wants to be known. He said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Look to God. Isaiah 45:22. And in Jeremiah 33:3, call unto me and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Call unto God. Cry out to God. He wants to hear your cry. He wants you to confess your sins and to turn from your sins and by faith to receive His Son and to be gloriously saved and to be able to talk with Him, not just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, but as you're going down the road. And again, it's not, I love it that I'm still physically able to get on my knees before God. And I'm not saying this boastfully, but there's been times I say it because I'm a sinner saved by God's grace and I have a fleshly tabernacle in a sin-cursed world, that there's been times that I've been on my face before God and cried out to God for forgiveness, cried out to God for mercy. He'll hear you. Moses is in a desperate situation. We could have a testimony service probably about that this morning. He said, I will. He said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. There's the last call. Look, call, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. God wants us to come to Him. And He said, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Look at that verse a little better tonight, and the fact that God is the keeper of our soul, and we're keepers to Him. He said unto him, I will give thee rest. And in verse number 15, I thought, boy, this would be a good prayer. This would be good counsel for all of us, because I've got ahead of God. You know, we need to walk with just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. But sometimes we're just like children. I've still got a couple of little grandchildren, and I mean, pew, pew, they're pinballs, and boy, sometimes they don't hear what you say. They're so cute, it's hard to get mad at them sometimes, but it's just like, I said, to listen to me. And then after I say that, then Miss Harris says, you need to listen to me, because then I'll get in trouble, you know, on those grandkids too much. But aren't we just like them, though? Sometimes when the Spirit of God bids us and we willfully sin against the will of God because of what we know from the Word of God, and we continue in sin, that grace may abound which God has forbid? Or we go and do our own thing or go our own way? It makes a mess of things. But here's what we ought to do is borrow from Moses right here in the Word of God. He said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. He said, for wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and the people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. That's what we're supposed to be as children of God, as a local New Testament church. When we got saved, we were justified. Remember the three stages. And then now we are in a process of sanctification, of being set apart. A city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid. We're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. See God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works, as Ephesians 2 tells us, so that they can see Christ in our life. They can see the grace of God being demonstrated in our life and see the proof of His love and have a hunger and a desire to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I think back before I got saved to look around and to be in the presence of so many that knew the Lord and privately and secretly, I would never approach them, but I say, they've got something, and I want that. I want that joy. I want that love. I want that song. I want that blessed assurance, and I want that confidence. I want to know that I'm going to heaven, and no longer did I want just the forgiveness of my sin. I wanted victory over my sin. Because when I truly got born again and trusted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior, my attitude towards sin changed. Now, don't think for a moment you're going to get saved and not sin. Whenever the Bible says, if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. He's not talking about if you do. He's talking about when you do. You go and study the Greek language there in the New Testament. If God be for us, then who can be against us? No, since God is for us, who can be against us? We look at this passage and we see that he is hungering and thirsting after the presence of God and for his power and for his provision. And he's reminding him, as Abraham did many times, of his promises, of that covenant that he had established with his people and that he was a covenant God. And then we know that David cried out to God many times on behalf of the people and for himself, for his name's sake, that all the people may know that there's a God in Israel, for his name's sake. He said, I know thee by name. Boy, there's a New Testament truth right there. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. He said, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Now, we're in the Father's hands. He knows us by name. I still remember the first time I heard that song when the Rochesters were up here that night. He knows my name. He knows my nature. He knows my need. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. And yet He continues to love me. You know, it's not sometimes enough for me to wonder how God could love me in my lost condition, but how He could continue to love me when I fail Him, when there's fault in my life, when I'm backslidden, when I'm cold in heart, when I'm a guilty distance from God, and how He continues to love me. Oh, thank God for His undying love, His unconditional love, His unequaled love. And as Romans 8, 35 through 39 says, His unending love. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You can't. Well, go study that verse out. There's just no way it's going to happen. He said, my presence shall go with thee. And he continues to cry out to God. He said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou canst not see my face. You see that right there. There's no contradiction in Scripture. How do we interpret Scripture? By comparing Scripture with Scripture. What does John 1:18 tell us? It says, no man has seen God at any time. I gave you that verse there. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. Away with these people today that, I saw God. No, you might have had too much pizza and stayed up too late, and you might have had a bad dream or something like that, but you didn't see God in all of His glory. Because God's word is true. He said, let God be true and every man a liar. God cannot lie. God cannot change, and God cannot fail. He said, He's going to put him in a place, just like He has put us in a place this morning. He said, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. Now how many, if I had asked for a show of hands, immediately said, He hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock that shadows a dry, thirsty land. We think of those songs there and where they came from the Word of God. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Psalm 91:1, and how that we are in His hand, and how He shadows over us, and how that we should hunger and thirst after righteousness and seek after His presence and say, Lord, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. Fill us with Thy Spirit. Oh, thank God that He's willing and that He has shown me the way many times. And even though I haven't seen Him face to face, I talked a while ago, I said, we're in justification, sanctification. The last stage is glorification. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. That's when we get our glorified bodies. That's when we see Jesus face to face. We sang, it is well with my soul. Lord, haste the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. Oh, I'm looking forward to that day. That resurrection morning, that rapture, that reunion, and that rejoicing. What a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory. Oh, to be a friend of God. To be born again, to be saved by the grace of God, to know that we know that we know that heaven is our home, that our name is written in the Lamb's book of life, and that nothing can separate us, nothing can cause us to perish. Oh, that we would continue to seek after God. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. Now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face, 1 Corinthians 13. How do we do that? Through the Word of God. The book of James tells us that the Word of God is like a mirror. Why is the Bible still the greatest seller of all times, but the least read? Because sometimes we don't like what it says. And so we put it down and we walk away from it. I don't know about you, but there's been a few times in my life where I didn't like what I saw in the mirror. And so I said, man, that's enough of that. Just walk away. Just walk on by. Like the song said right there. But oh, how we need today to praise Him that we have a friend. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling with joy, I'm telling, He made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Oh, there's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. A friend that reached down, and boy, when He reached down, He had to reach way down for me. A friend that has reached out. We think about reaching out and pass in the days before. It's kind of almost antiquated and outdated today by writing letters and how precious the letters, but today we can communicate with anybody on the face of this globe in just a matter of seconds and even see their face in most situations right there. We can send them a text, and yet God's given us a textbook. 66 books, 1,189 chapters, and I'm not going into sentences and words and breaking it down any further right there, but it's inexhaustible. The Word of God is inexhaustible. This is a love letter, and as they used to sing, I love you, written in red, which speaks of that blood of the Testament. He sought me and bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. Oh, do we find ourselves maybe as Moses? Maybe there's been some setbacks in our lives. Maybe there's some trials. Maybe there's some difficulties. Maybe there's some need. Maybe there's even sin in our life. Is there sin that two men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. He's not going to condemn you. He didn't condemn you when you came to Him for salvation. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he hath not believed in the name of the begotten Son of God. Remember that condemnation. Oh, this morning, God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be saved today. He wants you to cry out to Him. He wants you to call upon Him. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. One of the most simple verses in the Word of God. And whosoever meaneth me, whosoever meaneth you, whosoever means whosoever this morning. Oh, I'm here this morning to tell you that we serve a great God and that I'm entered a relationship with Him now, going some 39 years ago, going on 39 years, and He's always been faithful. Well, every time I seem like something comes out of my mouth, I guess where I'm here this morning, there's a lot of things coming back to memories of the songs that they've sang and the songs that we've sang together and things that we've gone through and the friendships and the hardships and the struggles, but He's always been faithful. Oh, consider this morning. 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. And remember, temptation's two-sided there. It's not just a solicitation to do evil. God's made a way for us to be able to overcome sin in our life and live victorious, separated, holy lives. Not holier than now, but holy lives. Lives in which others see that it's real in our lives and that we're not hypocrites, but also in the fact of the trials that we go through. Oh, the trials of Moses, the trials of men and women in this book, the trials of men and women in our families and even in our own lives today, and yet God is able today. Oh, do you know Him today? Oh, don't turn Him away. Jesus, this morning, He wants to be your Savior. Child of God, He wants to be your friend. When's the last time He heard from you? I mean, it seems like today. Boy, time gets away from us. I can't believe it's been a year and a half now, nearly. And it's just like it seems like yesterday. And sometimes the days, the weeks, the months slip by, and I'll think, I've got to call so-and-so. We've got to stay in touch. We've got to communicate with the greatest friend of friends, the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to pray daily. We've got, the Bible says that we're to pray, continue to pray without ceasing. All over Powderly in Paris there's somebody that has put a sign that says, don't quit praying. And I don't know who did that, but boy, I say amen to that. Don't quit praying in these last days. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning.